Okay, I guess we'll get started here now. We'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the beauty of this day now that you've given to us and for just giving us the breath of life that we can be here. We thank you, Father, for your love and for your mercy and for your grace that you give to us. We thank you for your word that you've given to us. We thank you, Father, that we can look at it and study it out. Even things there, Father, that we learn for ourselves that we can't explain your word, but we still understand it there, Father, and just help us, Lord, to understand it more, that we can get closer to you, and that we can explain your word there, Father. So just be with us. Just give us the guidance and direction this day. Thank you for the past year that you've given to us there, Father, and for the blessings that you bestowed upon us. And Lord, we don't trust in this government that we have, but we trust in you. And Father, you're the one there, Father, that we have to lean upon, and we have to allow you to take care of us and meet our needs. We praise you, Father, for that. And we praise you, Father, for just a church that we can come to, Father, to learn your word. We ask, Father, that you would just, your Holy Spirit would just work here today. Your Holy Spirit would just take full control. Your Holy Spirit's the one that wrote the Bible here, Father, and we just ask now that you would just reveal it to us and enlighten us through your word here, Father, and let your Spirit just take care of us and meet our needs. And just as we have the second service here then, Father, that the message you've given to the pastor, Father, that it would be something that we can learn, something that we can draw close to you also, and that we can just follow in your footsteps. And we thank and praise you, Father, for just your love that you have for us. Give us the guidance throughout this day now. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. I'm on back here now. Okay. We're going through the qualifications that make a man a leader. We should get done with all of them here today. I think so anyhow. And then we're going to get into some better stuff here, I think, that's maybe that you fathers would kind of like. I don't know, but I know I do. I like it, so, but we'll see. We're going through Titus here, chapter 1, and verse 6 there says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused or right or unruly. But he says in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed. Self-willed we talked about last week, and he said not soon to anger. And we looked at, I showed you a man in the Bible who I believe was self-willed and some of his aspects of being self-willed the way he is, and that the man of God, the man that's bringing his household up, shouldn't be self-willed. In the same way was soon to anger. Someone that their temper rises too quickly, you can't let it smolder and you can't let it burn hot. You always hurt someone that you love when you let your anger get control of you, and it's something that you need to learn to have control of it. Now, we'll pick it up here today, and he must be a lover of good men. And let me read these verses here, this verse to you, and then I got lots of other verses. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 17 to 20 says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Are you supposed to hate the world? The people that are of the world. Why? I see some of you shaking your heads. Ron. But are you to love them or are you to hate them?
The world, I think we should hate the people we should love and go after their souls.
Verse 17 there answers it. These things I command you, that ye love one another. It's a command that we love. We have to love them no matter what. You know, God has that. And he says there, you know, even though that he says, if ye were of the world will love his own. And they do. They do love their own. They do love the things that they do. They do love. And as soon as someone like you comes in and you start saying something to them about Christ, you watch it. They hate you. And Jesus says the same. Jesus, he knew it. He knew it because he come into the world here and he went through the same thing. And the world's going to hate you because of him. He says, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. You go out here into the workforce, your workforce, and you start preaching Christ, you just keep talking about it constantly all the time. You're going to find out, gentlemen, and you already know. I'm sure some of you have already experienced it. And they watch you. They do whatever they can to go against you. And the world just, they hate you. That's something that is, you just have to, you're going to be persecuted for it, and no matter what. In the rapture, after the rapture of the church in the tribulation period, people will be persecuted because of Christ, just because of it. And it's going to be worse than what it even is today. So he says that they will be. But he says that here that you must be a lover of good men. A lover of good men is what he's talking about here is a lover of goodness, of good things in general, or anything that is good. Things that are good is what you're to be the lover of. I got lots of verses here today, and there's not enough of men in here, so women, you're going to be reading verses today. So I'm going to start here with the pastor first, and we're going to go from the whole way down the line here. Pastor, 2 Samuel 18:27, Mrs. Codner, Psalm 37:23. Dan, would you go to Proverbs 12:2? Mrs. Dan, Proverbs 13:22. Corby, Proverbs 14:14. Mrs. Corby, Micah 7:2. The two Bopsy twins back there, Matthew 12:24-25, and Luke 6:45. And either of you can take whichever one you fight amongst among you. I like to see sisters fight, so go ahead. Van, Luke 23:50. Danny, John 7:12. Mrs. Johnson, Acts 11:24. And what? Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Dean, Romans 5:7. Ron, would you go to 1 Samuel 18:1? And Keith, 1 Kings 5:1-7, and Mrs. Keith, Psalm 16:3, Nancy, Amos 5:15. Hey, I got enough for everybody. Go, you go first, since you're the man of the house. 1 John 3:14, and 1 John 5:1. I'll go to this other one here then, one more. Okay, we're talking about good men here, so... 2 Samuel 18:27.
The watch who said, me thinketh the running of the first, the foremost, is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man, and cometh with good tidings.
So there we can see the Bible talks about a good man. There, and all these verses here are about good men. Okay, let me see. Psalm 37:23. Proverbs 12:2.
A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will be condemned.
Proverbs 13:22.
A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of his and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Proverbs 14:14. Micah 7:2.
The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net.
Matthew 12:35.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure.
Now, Luke 6:45 here says the same thing, only Luke adds something to it. Go ahead. Out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaketh. He added that to it, a good man. So what comes out of the heart a lot of times is what you speak. Luke 23:50.
And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just.
John 7:12. Acts 11:24. Romans 5:7. First Samuel 18:1. A lot of people take that the wrong way there with Jonathan and David. But, I mean, they were just knit together. Jonathan saw that David was a good man. And they were knit together because of it. And he was willing to follow him. He was willing to let him be king. And he would have liked to even be in rule under him. But the Lord didn't allow that to happen. Let me see the next one here. 1 Kings 5:1-7.
And Jerome, king of Tyre, sent service unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever alone with David. Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side. So the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in Israel, he shall build a house unto my name.
King Hiram there seeing that David was a good man. But he knew that he wasn't allowed to build a temple, and it was given to Solomon, and he was happy about this because of David, with Solomon being in, his son and stuff, and he was happy because of it. And he seen that he was a good man. Psalm 16:3. Amos 5:15. First John 3:14.
We know that we have passion, death, and the life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
And 1 John 5:1.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him.
So we're to be lovers of good men. We're to follow. I mean, we follow Christ. You know what he did for you. You know that everything that Christ did was good, and we're to follow good, and we're to hate evil there, as it said in a lot of things. But here in Philippians chapter 4, it's kind of summed up here this way, and you've heard this verse many, many times. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We're to love good men. We're to love the things that are good of this world. We're to love the things of a good leader. We're to watch over them. We're to follow after them. Just as Paul here, he said to the Philippians that if they seen it in him, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, do it if you've seen it in me. So bringing up a family, you need to learn to teach your children the things that are good, instead of some of these men like to teach their children things that are evil. Forgot to do that again, man. I ought to be shot. But anyhow, there's things here that there's things that we need to learn and to do. You know, to do good. And he said here in Titus, he says that he is a lover of good men. Is what he says that a bishop is, but that also applies to us also. We're to be lovers of good men. Questions or comments on that? I forgot to do this at the first. I did it last week. I blew it. I'm going to read it now. I don't know about you, but I thought about running away more as an adult than I ever did as a child. I kind of like that saying. It is true. So, as he says here, we're to be lovers of good. Some things, people that are good. A lot of these kids today, they like to have their heroes as some kind of a football player, a baseball player, or you know something like that. There. Well, there's many good men of God that is in this Word of God that you need to follow after. That's good. That could be your hero. Instead of a football player or somebody like that there. Questions or comments? Okay, what's going here? He says here not only that he's a lover of good men, sober, but he must be just. Pastor, Psalm 15, 1-5. Let me give some other ones out here while you're turning there. Mrs. Codner, Titus 2, 7 and 8. Dan, 2 Corinthians 6, 4-8. Cindy, 1 Thessalonians 2, 10. Corby, 1 Timothy 4, 12. And Natalie, 1 Timothy 6, 12. And Sarah, would you go to 2 Timothy 2, 22?
Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell on thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be murdered.
There you can see what a just man is. Somebody that's upright in all his doings towards men and God. He's just. He's just in all his dealings, anything, whatever it might be. He's just in it. And we need to be just. We need to teach our children to be just. We need to teach them. There's lots of things we need to teach them. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right through the stars fall. Do right. You know, keep doing right. We need to keep doing right, whatever it might be. Whatever temptation might come before you, you still need to do right. Titus 2, 7 and 8.
In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he which is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
Someone has nothing to say evil of you. You're just in all your doings. 2 Corinthians 6, 4-8.
But in all things approving ourselves as the distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true.
1 Thessalonians 2:10. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:12.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word and conversation, charity, spirit, and faith, and purity.
There's a mouthful, isn't it? That we just have to, you know, as bringing up your children. Read that again. That's good.
Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word and conversation, and charity, and spirit, and faith, and purity.
Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy 6:11. Second Timothy 2:22.
We also useful that, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that follow the Lord out of a pure heart.
So we're to be just in everything, just in all of our doing, dealings, just towards men. Just, he says here. I got more verses here. Mrs. Stover, Genesis 6:9. Van, Proverbs 9:9. Mrs. Johnson, Proverbs 24:16. Danny, Ecclesiastes 7:15. Pamela J. Smith, Ecclesiastes 7:20. Ron, Matthew 1:19. Keith, Mark 6:20. And I'll read this last one here then. Genesis 6:9.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God.
So, somebody that actually walked with God, he was just, he says there, in all things. And you think about Noah there. You think about his time when he lived. What was happening and taking place back then. I mean, it was evil. But I tell you what, we're getting close to it today. You let these sodomites and all them push their issues, continue to push your... Hey, I don't care what they have to say. Just don't push your issue on me. Don't push it on me. I can, if I want to say whatever I want to say, you can say whatever you want to say, but don't push your issue on me. I'm not pushing my issue on you. Phil Robinson just went through this, he just went through that same thing there. He was just being interviewed. And, hey, he said what the Bible had to say. But now it's a big deal. What's the big deal? You know, that's the way I look at it. Don't push your issue onto me. I'm not going to push my issue on you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is going to set you free. But they don't want to listen to that. They don't want to hear that. They want to go against you. They want to fight you. Fight you to the end. They want to push their issues on you. Back in Noah's time, he was going through garbage just like this. Lot, look at the garbage that he went through in Sodom. What God did there. You're going to tell me there's two incidents where God just about tore everything to pieces. He about tore the world and saved just one man and his family. And then another time where he just wiped out a complete city. And you're going to try to tell me that God's for all this? Lesbians, homosexuals, God's for it? Baloney. I can't help it. I'll say it, you know, and they can fight me to the end. I'm not pushing my issue. I'm just going to tell you the truth, and that's it. But don't put your issue onto me. They don't have to be going around here. If a state doesn't want them, have them to get married there, why keep pushing it? Why? You know, that's my thing. Why keep pushing it? Let them alone. If Miss Kane down here, the Attorney General, doesn't like it, then get out of it. Go to some other state. Be the Attorney General there. I don't care. You know, she's going against the law. It's a law that's set up. We are to follow the laws. She's to follow the law. She is the law. Attorney General. And yet she has to break the law. Come off it. She should have been pushed out right away. So she should have been. That's just my feelings on it. So, you know, you just, you know, a just and upright man, Noah was. So he was. Proverbs 9:9.
Give instructions to a wise man, and he will yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning.
A just man will increase in learning. Proverbs 24:16.
A just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief.
Ecclesiastes 7:15. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Matthew 1:19.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily.
Mark 6:20. See, there he was even afraid of John because John was a just man. He spoke the truth. That's what he did. And then Acts 10:22 says, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. And this is when they came to Peter, and they were trying, and Peter already knew that somebody was coming, and then he found out where he was supposed to go. But they explained to Peter who this man was, and he said he was a just man and of a good report, one that feared God. I think it all goes along together there, you know, fearing God, being just, you know, and having a good report. It all goes together, being just. And we need to bring our children up to be just people, just in all our dealings with men. You know, be honest. I told you this before. I'm not positive. I have found we were over there at Bellefonte working, putting that extra lane in over there this summer, and somebody must have had their window down or something, and they lost a Wise card. You know, it was a gift card that somebody gave to them, and I found it. I don't know why I had to find it, but I did. I found it. I picked it up, and I said to the guys there, I said, you know, I got to take this down here to the Y store and see if I can't find out who this belongs, because somebody bought this. It was a gift card. It was, you know, they wanted somebody that they gave it to them so that they could buy, you know, groceries and stuff, and I felt bad about it. And some of them, you know, I liked how some of them, just keep it, just use it yourself. I said, no. That's not right. You don't do that kind of stuff. Oh, and they were on my case about me. And then I took it down that night to the Wise store, and I went into the manager there, or the lady that was at the counter there, and I said to her, is there any way that you can find out who this belongs to? I said, somebody bought it for somebody, you know, and they wanted them to have it. No, we can't. We don't know how. We don't keep track of things like that here. I said, surely you can find something. She said, no. She ran it through. She said, oh, there's some good money on here. She said, just take it and use it. I said, no. I said, it belongs to somebody. I said, you do with it what you want to do. I said, I did my part now by bringing it here. I said, see if you can't find it. Well, you know, I know what that lady did. She stuck it in her pocket, and she probably used it. but I was trying to be right and just about it. You know, it's not right that somebody else uses it because somebody bought it for somebody, you know. I just, there's so many incidents that the Lord put in front of me this just this past year, you know, where somebody either gave me too much money and I went back in and gave them their with change, I gave them their money back, or something, some dealings like that there. And I do like to see how people act and react when you take something like that back into them. So I see some of you shaking your heads. You've done it already. You know what it's like. You know what they say. Wow, you must be honest. Well, yeah, you know, this is my job and responsibility. You know, somebody to be just in his dealings, upright in all his doings. That's what a just person does. You know, he don't just stick it in his pocket and go and say, "Woo, looky here, the Lord blessed me." You know, he gave me more change and I got money back. And some people think that way, and that's not right. I don't care. To be just, you take it back to them, just like that there card. You take that and you try. At least I did my part. I tried to find out who it was anyhow, you know, and I did. And the guys, the next day, I told them about this, you know. And they said, "See, I told you, you should have just stuck it in your pocket and you should have just went and used it." I said, "No, that's not right." And the one guy, he's on my case all the time. His wife must go to church and he doesn't. And she, what did he say she was? I forget what religion she goes to, but he must be similar to, he kind of follows the Catholics a little bit and stuff, but he's always on my case. But yet, you know, I'll hear him listening to the radio and I'll hear him listen to preaching and to Christian music and things like that there, you know. And we go back and forth, you know, we go back and forth. There's no doubt about it. But he was one of them. "Oh, I told you, you should have just stuck that in your pocket." I said, "No, you know it's not right, you know." And then he tries to tell me things that, you know, that I did that's not right and all this and that stuff. I said, "Yeah, right. I hear you." I said, "You would have taken that and you would have just blowed it and whatever and stuff." And we go back and forth anyhow. But you got to be just. Just in your dealings, just in everything. Businessmen, you got to be just in dealings. You have to be just in them, you know. You got to try to make things right. There's so many things that I tried to make right in my business already, and in the years that I had it and stuff, and even now, I still try to make things right. You know, it's just one of them things. And one thing I never did. I never advertised. It was by word of mouth that I got that business came into me. People talking, you know, saying, you know, to take it there, and that's just how it happened. And same way with when I finally told the Korean people that I'm not going to work on their vehicles anymore. It was just getting too much. Because the word of mouth was just going around up there at State College, and there were more and more and more and more of them, you know, just because of it. And I finally said, not doing it anymore. So you got to be just, you know. People know that you're just. Okay, questions or comments on being just? All right, I guess I explained that one enough. Then he says here that he must be just. He has to be holy. He must be holy. Pastor, Hebrews 12:14. Mrs. Codner, would you go to Joshua 1:8? And Dan, would you go to Psalm 122:1? And Cindy, would you go to John 4:23? Okay? He must be holy. Hebrews 12:14.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Holy. You know, everything that we do, we should try to do it holy. Every time we have a bad thought about doing something wrong, we should be doing it holy. You know, we need to be holy. Holy in heart towards God. Faithful in all our duties towards God. You know, we have to be holy. You know, it's just one of them things that we need to be holy. While I see here, Corby, go to 2 Kings 4:9, and Natalie, would you go to Romans 10:17? And Mrs. Stover, would you go to Hebrews 4:12? Okay, so he must be holy, he's saying here. One of the ways that we can be holy is spend time in the Word of God. Joshua 1:8.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
We need to be in the Word of God. Let me skip to this one here. Luke 4:4. I don't know who I gave that to. Did I give that to somebody? What'd you have?
Me?
Yes.
I had Romans 10:17.
Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead. Luke 4:4.
And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God."
Jesus said there that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Spending time in the Word of God, I think, is part of your diet. He said you're not going to live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. And I think, like I said, I think it's part of your diet. You should have that to increase in your learning, to increase in how you can do the things that to be holy. You know, you need the Word of God to teach you. If you don't read the Word of God, you're just bland. What I'm trying to think of a food that's bland. Tell me.
Rice.
Okay. Yeah. Rice. Okay. Rice. Look at rice. How many people add stuff to rice all the time to give it some kind of a flavor? You know, you're adding things to rice. Some people like it. It's okay. You know, just bland. But there's other times. But, you know, your life would be just bland if you just, you know, you call yourself a Christian and you're not in the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. Here's a saying that I wrote down. It says, "These two things are married and nothing shall part. Dust on the Bible and dearth in the heart." You think about that. You know, there's just nothing there if you don't read the Word of God. You need the Word of God. We have to spend time with the Word of God, in the Word of God. Okay, let me see. Where was I here now? Corby, what did I give you?
2 Kings 4:12 or 4:9.
Yes, go ahead. At Romans 10:17. Faith is nothing unless you have the Word of God with it. You think about it. Faith, it's bland. But faith and the Word of God go together. Just like food and the Word of God go together, I believe. You know, they go together. You know, that increases your faith with the Word of God, reading the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12.
"For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Why do you think the people pick on you all the time when you give them the Word of God? She read it there. It's sharper. It pierces. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces their heart. They don't like that. That's why they fight back at you. You know, they need to give in what the Word of God is trying to teach them, trying to show them when you give them the Word of God. We must be holy. Another thing here that we need to do, who did I let off? Okay, Van, would you go to Psalm 122:1 and Mrs. Johnson, John 4:23. Psalm 122:1 and John 4:23. We have to spend time in the worship of God, worshiping God. Psalm 122:1.
One twenty-two
Yes.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord.
Worshiping God. You know, going to the house of the Lord. John 4:23. We worship God, we learn to be holy. God is holy. God is just. God, he's all these things. And to learn about Him, we need to be in His Word and we need to worship Him. Come to the house of God to worship Him. You know, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Learn about Him. This is how we can be holy in heart towards God. You know, we need to be holy. You know, so many times we fall. We're human beings. We fall, you know, in some dumb things that we do. We just need to learn to be holy. That's just something that we need to learn to do is to be holy. Questions or comments? I'm trying to finish this up. Okay, one more here yet. I'm going to go quickly. And the last one here is he must be temperate. He must be the master of himself, having his appetites under control. Let's see, Danny, go to Luke 9:23. Pam, go to 1 Corinthians 9:25, and Ron, would you go to Titus 2:2? Luke 9:23. Temperate. What does temperate mean? Close. Very close. Temperate. Having power or control over all your passions. One having his passion, tongue, hand, and eyes at command. It's a picture of self-control. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Titus 2:2.
Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience.
So we need to learn to have self-control. When you're bringing up your children, you need to have self-control, gentlemen. We talked about the anger and about correcting your children and things like that, and we need to learn to have self-control. You just need to have self-control. That's the way it is. He says he must be temperate. This is someone that must be temperate. And he just has to have that, be the master of himself, having his appetites under control. Everything that you do, you have to be under control. It's something simple. It's nothing difficult. Questions or comments on that? Okay, good. That's the last of the qualities that make a man a leader. The next thing that we're going to be learning and some things here that I think is really good is how to be a good father. Father, I thank and praise you.